Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. It's Monday, the 25th day of May 2020. Welcome to the program. With me in the studio is Michelle Brathwaite, and we will be with you up until 2 o'clock today. So call us, 434-1790. That's the number for you to call. Oh, ever so often I have to deal with these criticisms of Brass Tacks and regular callers. I saw something that somebody put out over the weekend talking about these regular callers who behave as though they're experts on everything, and how the moderators end up giving them so much time. And last night I was listening to LBC in London. And I don't think that calling programs in Barbados have any problem that is peculiar. All over the world, they have calling programs. You have a group of people who are regular listeners. And then you have a group of people who are regular contributors. I mean, I listened last night to this calling program where they were discussing the Dominic Cummings issue in the UK. I thought it was supposed to be a general call-in, but it seemed as though the moderator had it focused almost exclusively on why Dominic Cummings needed to be fired. I listened with interest because I'm not so sure that that's the way that we don't do it that way here, but in other places it is done completely differently. You know, you can actually set it up and say, well, I'm taking a partisan line, and therefore you have to appreciate that that is what is happening. But again, you know, there's that familiarity with certain voices and that sort of thing. So it is something that we just have to work with. And I really encourage those people who are the complainers to bear in mind that sometimes they are the ones who are cheating the Barbadian public of this informed view. Because if you think that these regular callers are a nuisance because they come across as though they're experts on everything, clearly, the people who have the expertise are invited to call and make a contribution as well. Having said that, though, I think that over the COVID period, it is safe to say that we have had so much more participation from people other than regular callers. To have that as a complaint, I suspect it might be so one or two days in recent times, especially where the politics is concerned. You're coming towards the, or at that time you were approaching the second anniversary of the Barbados Labour Party being in office, and that brings out the political people on both sides of the fence. But let's see what's going to happen today. We're ready and raring to go. Talk to me. Welcome to the program.
A blessed good morning to you, my brother. How are you?
I'm well. Morning.
Now, Mr. Ellis, I have so much things on my plate to discuss with you. Unfortunately, it will be only two this morning instead of that massive amount I had for you this morning. Comrade's tongue would have been sharp on both sides. And you know, I'd like to give you a warning so that you can prepare for me. Because you who say that my tongue sharp. Now, Mr. Ellis, let me extend my condolences to Dr. Wendy Griffith Watson.
You mean to her family? She dead, you know. So
right, to the family.
To the family and friends.
If my tongue is sharp and both sides, I would never say that. But to her family, I have worked with her during 1997 until 2009. And I found her to be a very loving, caring, and passionate person where education was concerned. But my biggest my biggest disappointment so far is with our first Prime Minister, Mr. Errol Wharton Barrow, then Dr. Wendy Griffith Watson. There was someone else that passed away, or Tom Adams. These three people, there's one more, David, one more. And I find that their vision is never, ever looked after the way, and people don't see it the way they're supposed to see it. Errol Barrow-Barton warned us about the day he would never want to see a Cane Blair. Then was told he was sell short. He was mad. Tom Adams wanted a massive highway. It was foolishness. Dr. Wendy Griffith Watson in 1999, that's why I'm sorry that she passed away and she did not get the chance to back me up on it. She had a conference for 1 week. And she saw at the time the different behavior in 1999, you know, David. And a 1 week course was held at Southern Palms Hotel. I was part of that as a member of the National Council of Parenthood Association. And nothing ever came out of it. Because I find that when people got a vision and can see, because everybody don't see what you see, things go wrong. And the obvious people who try not to let it manifest itself the way it should, the obvious way to subdue it. That is one. Mr. Ellis, this is the second one, and as I told you, I had a lot on my chest this morning, but I will leave it for another day. But your morning surgical early business, you know, you say you like people to do the homework. You normally listen to what the people say and edit, either look back to see what the made, where the made mistakes or anything like that.
Mistakes like what?
Okay, but this morning, and I hope for your sake and the radio sake, I heard wrong. The Prime Minister this morning was on early business, right?
Yeah.
Good. I want you to play it back because I'm more sure she said, and that's why I said, I hope it is my mistake. And I heard wrong. She said those people who were not appointed but had in 3 years and over, we made sure they were appointed. What happened in 2018 with MTW workers? That is the ball, David. I know you don't see everything, you don't hear everything, you can't pick up everything like me. So as your brother, I try to uplift you to know what is going on.
Thank you so much.
I will let you to play back to make sure. Because you had people had it from 3 years up to 22 years who were not appointed and were sent home in 2018, October to be exact. Mr. Ellis, I got a lot more to discuss, but I want to pick up
the Thank program. You so much. You've been so kind. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hello. Mr. Ellis?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, I'm a first-time caller, but I listen every day now to your talks, and I find them very informative.
Thank you very much. What prompts you to call today?
Well, it's just a couple of issues. It's just small, but it might be helpful to people. We know we're having to be home and cook a lot, and the grease trap issue is a little of a problem, but it's just to tell people, if you boil a kettle and after you've done your washing up, you pour the hot boiling water down the drain, followed by either bleach or a little washing up liquid, it'll help to keep the grease pipes moving. It's just a little piece of advice.
Okay.
And the other issue is, although I have an English accent, I've lived in Barbados for almost 48 years, and I am a Bayesian. I've been through hurricane seasons for a long time, and with all the COVID information that we get from you all, I think when they're delivering the news, we know it's hurricane season, you know, but it comes over with so much gloom and doom. Perhaps when we're talking about the next big issue that's going to come to Barbados, we could do it with a little lighter, conversation rather than, oh, well, you know, it's the hurricane season. We know that. So kind of prepare yourselves, but do it in a little more jovial manner. I know it's not a jovial issue, but we're so kind of overwhelmed with instructions at the moment. Perhaps we could do the delivery with a little more fun or sense of humor than the terrifying issue.
It scares you?
Excuse me?
Does it scare you?
I'm nervous for it because I've been through some of the bad ones, and I live on my own, and I get ready in the way that I'm told to. But on top of the COVID information, you know, we know what to do. We know what to be prepared for. But don't tell us, look out, it's going to be a really bad season. because every season might be bad, but just help us through it by being a little more sensitive to everybody's kind of emotions at the moment.
That Which are the bad ones that you've experienced?
Well, I can't do them by name, but when I've sat in my house and I've watched the reports coming through and I listen to the meteorological office and I listen to the weather forecast and I see pictures of what's happening, it usually gets worse when it goes up to Florida. But the ones I've lived through here, because it's kind of so small and we're so vulnerable, it just is scary. And I have animals. I work with the RSPCA as a volunteer, so I worry for them as well, which people always forget about. But animals are also an issue when it comes to hurricane season.
All right. Well, thank you very much. But you, in all of this, so you work with the animals. So what has that experience been like, especially during the COVID period? There's been a long lockdown. How difficult has that been?
It's been greatly relieved by being able to go to the beach now from 6 till 9 and 4 till 7 in the evening because I can exercise them. But I also have disabled animals that are blind and crippled who have been hurt. So I worry for them and I really enjoy doing the work I do, which is totally voluntary. But we are in a lot of distress with abused animals at the moment, so there's a lot to do. And Wayne Norville is my hero. So one truck's on, one keeps going, and just remember the animals and remember to keep yourself safe, and God will prevail.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling. Down to brass tacks, hello?
Yes, Mr. Elias, a blessed day to you, sir.
Boy, you early.
Yes, I trust that your weekend was a beautiful one as well, and your family. And I want to wish the station and the Barbados in the whole the best for the week. And the blessing of the Lord be upon us all. Now, Mr., I have two concerns. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to let me voice both. But this, I'm going to speak on this one first. You remember, and these are two concerns that I have. You remember, Miss Ellis, I think it was Saturday last week, I think it was. Or anyway, if it wasn't Saturday, it was the day when there was this thing on the television about the Hyatt on Bay Street. And when the Prime Minister was there and she spoke on it and so on. And then one of the reporters asked the question about the Deputy Assistant Commissioner. And the Prime Minister said then, you know, I really wanted to speak about this. And the Prime Minister went on to say she was critical of Mr.
Franklin.
Franklin. And said that he should first, before you speak, you should check the legislation and all these things. She was very strong about it. And she went on to say, well, after speaking about who wrote her, about different aspects of it, she went on to say that the legislation was laid on in both houses. You remember that?
She said, yes, that an order,
right.
was laid in both houses.
In both houses. Now, the impression was given that there was nothing wrong because all that should have been done was done. This is how Barbadians saw it, heard it, and perhaps believed it as well because it came from the Prime Minister. Lo and behold, the newspaper, in a editorial by Mr. Ezra Allen, I suppose you saw it. Mr. Allen spoke and he mentioned when Biggs went to Barbados, when he and Mr. Shepherd and Mr. Smith, Mr. Frederick, represented him. And he said he did research, because it was then thought that Barbados had this extradition treaty with England, and in other words, we were under obligation to extradite him. Ms. Allen said when he did the research, it was never passed. In other words, it was never law. There was, I talk about in 80, but in 81, when he came to, when the gentleman came about Mr. Bid, he said it was never passed as a law. And he went on now to say, when he did the research on this last one with the Deputy High Commissioner, he said no evidence was found by him that it was passed. Now, this is serious. Because, you know why he said it's serious? The Attorney General said, after he said he was not, he's not getting into any tit for tat with Mr. Franklin, he went on then to say that when Parliament reconvenes, he's going to bring it to Parliament and tie up the loose ends as such. Then, how would it be possible for him to say that and then the Prime Minister come and come to that before her thought? And here it is, Mr. Allen now has come and proven very misleading, because then the country is depending on what she said and the Attorney General. These are our people who we put there to represent us, and then the words come from their mouth.
Well, I think in all of this, there have been some questions which have been raised on this particular matter after the Prime Minister spoke, which in my judgment require further reaction. I have seen the observations made that the order was laid but not debated and passed. So if that is indeed the case, what is the response to that? I do not know. I think most of us would want to hear it. But we need to frame this within the context of the government's majority. And the government has such a majority that it makes a lot of people in this country nervous. And people are nervous sometimes because you can find yourself in a situation where governments with this kind of mandate can appear to people to do what they want to do and basically pay little attention to what other people may have to say about what the government is up to.
But even more
and in this particular matter, there have been questions not only about the order, but that the Prime Minister appeared to rely upon things that were set in train by the previous Police Service Commission and then projected it as though having been set in train by a body that is now defunct, that set things in motion for the new body to carry on. So there are questions there that need clarification. And
Ms. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
Look, all of that you're talking about, we want to deal with the more pertinent factor in this matter.
Which is?
That our Prime Minister led the country to believe that it was nothing wrong and it was okay. This is, look, I'm not going to, we ought not to dance around this thing to find any excuses.
But I don't think. Am I being accused of looking for excuses?
I'm not accusing you of anything. No. I'm saying to you that in light of what you said, I'm not negating what you said is not true. I am saying that when you can speak the way you have spoken to the country and given the country the belief that everything was and is in place, the country is going by what you said. Now to discover that none of that is fact. How could... No, I'm saying, look, you know, we just find a lot of excuses for people doing things, right?
The Prime Minister said that the matter had been laid before Parliament. You are trying to suggest that she was not truthful.
Look,
just stop. If you say that it has been laid in Parliament, from all that I have heard, it was laid. The Prime Minister didn't go on to say that it was passed in Parliament.
Yes, it is.
You have got... No. Because you're accusing... Ma'am, just hold on a minute, man. I got to go with the facts. You may come to the conclusion that it... Well, you could come to that conclusion. It is in
the country.
Why would you not let me get a chance to speak?
All right, okay.
When you're dealing with something like this, you got to stay with the language. When you come to the conclusion that it means that it was passed, the person who made the statement can easily say, I never said it was passed.
See that?
I said it was laid.
You see that?
It was laid before both houses of Parliament. Having said that, you now have to come back and say, but being laid is not enough. Because from all that is being said by others, it required what I believe was called affirmative action. It required a debate and a vote. And therefore, if it didn't have that, the appointment becomes null and void. So that is the follow-up. But I don't think you can go in the direction that you have gone.
Mr. Harris, let me ask you this. What was the country led to understand?
What I just said. I understand what was said, and I just put that to you. If you know, you have interpreted it to mean that being laid means that it has been passed, well, that's your error.
It's a, don't come with a story to me.
I can only say that to you because...
You know what happened?
What?
Look, Ms. Ellis, we have got to call a spade when it is there before us. We have in this country now a situation with the hospital.
But you can safely say... That you got the impression. You can safely say that you got the impression.
Ms. Ellis, you remember that the Prime Minister did say, she said, she was anxious, actually anxious when the reporter asked the question. She said, I wanted to get to this matter. And she went on.
Well, as I said to you, we agree on this, sir. Look,
when you heard that.
We agree on this. Somebody points out here, the Prime Minister said effectively that it was done lawfully, and then other questions have been raised to cast a shadow on that statement. And therefore, I agree with those of you who say that we need to hear a bit more of it because people would be concerned that you had these conflicting views on such an important issue. And at the end of the day, we are all asked to comply with the law. The government of Barbados has consistently told all of us as citizens that we should comply with the law. And therefore, if the government is going to do that, it too is expected to comply with the law. Okay, so we agree that there is a need for more examination of this particular matter. And it is quite possible that it may be a 9-day wonder, that people will only talk about it for a couple of weeks and then go to sleep, and that's the end of it. But sometimes these things come back at you, and a lot has to do with, I mean, not so long ago we had one of the prominent MPs in the country, lawyers in the country, accusing the government of going to Parliament in circumstances where people needed to have more information and basically riding roughshod over some aspects of this country's consultative process and that sort of thing. So these things matter. And, you know, once you have so big a mandate, you are going to have concerns along these lines as well. So when something of this nature happens, it worries some people. And if you think for 1 minute that it is going to be forgotten, I don't think it is something that you can sweep under the carpet in those circumstances. down to brass tacks. Hello? But having said that, you also have to, you know, look at both sides of this coin. You listen to what the Prime Minister had to say yesterday about the achievements over the last 2 years, because that has to be matched against comments that we hear from people right here on this program to the effect that people are worse off, nothing has improved. So you have those two sides of this coin to look at. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm well. And you?
I'm fine. Tell me something. Did you manage to listen to the program last Tuesday when Mr. Bacon was on?
Did I? I don't think I got a chance to listen. I heard a little piece of it. I didn't hear all of it.
Let me tell you where I'm at first. The first thing I want to deal with. I am VOD right through. But Mr. The fellow that was broadcast was on the ministry. He was on Friday with you again. Oh, boy. What's his name? Steve Blackett.
Mm-hmm.
He was on. He was talking to Mr. Wickham. And two of them tend to disagree in terms of the pronouncements and stuff. And I ain't knowing here because a lot of people heard it. It would have appeared as if Mr. Blackett slammed the phone down because it jumped me. It jumped my ear. And then Mr. Wickham said, oh, you're gone, because you slammed the phone down. But then I missed on Friday, and I don't know if I missed. And I was trying to listen to the repeat, and I fell asleep. I don't know if Friday when it came, because it was blatant, right? Before he had his discourse with you, if he apologized for the behavior, and I think he needed to apologize to Barbados, the VOB, and also to Mr. Wickham. Now, let me say this up front. There's nothing at all wrong with the Barbados Labour Party, nor the Democratic Labour Party. There's nothing wrong with the people. Nothing wrong with institutions, it's wrong with the people, right? And the people who support them, right? I am saying that some person who would have held the highest office in our land and would have made decisions for us, some which we didn't agree with anyhow, right? And you cannot, and we'll be talking about examples. Just that man just now was trying to make the point in terms of what the Prime Minister said, if it was truthful or not truthful, right? Is these things, right, that these same people who support these people see and don't say anything at all about it. Now, first, let me ask you, did he, by any chance, when he spoke to you on Friday, apologize for his behavior?
There was no apology about anything.
All right, fair enough. That's where we wanted to listen to it, the repeat of it, to make sure that was not the case. Now, we talk about examples.
He identified himself on the Tuesday?
He didn't have to identify himself.
No.
You can't. Know him.
No, sir.
He identified because we're talking about the Prime Minister and when they were in government. So
okay.
He did, without saying that it was Steve Blackett, he did identify himself, right?
Okay.
Right?
Because you need to be clear on that, huh?
No, I am crystal clear on that, Mr. Ellis. I am crystal clear on that. And I'm sure about that if the supporters, I would challenge Alvin, Shrek, Tennessee, and all those persons who listened to that because they would have heard. Right? To know I could confirm that it was him. Right? Now, I am saying to you that when we talk about going forward and things happening right, you can't have people that hold those sort of positions, right, come and set these sort of examples. But we would want to talk about little things that are, not saying that they don't have little weight, but they are not germane to what is happening now with COVID and how we have to deal with it and trying to get us out of this mess. Right? But everybody now going up. I'm sure that discourse, let me just say the fellow who just spoke, it is within his rights to say what he just said, right? But in this time, I'm asking myself, I'm not saying that these things might not have a time and a place, but in this time, at this time, we'll be trying to get our country. We don't know how long this thing will last, what drastic measures. The class I want to give, the Prime Minister for the months of March, of April and May, give the civil service their full pay. And maybe 10% of them work because of the situation. I in here want, and that's why we like fairness. You start with balance, right? But I like fairness and truth, right? I didn't hear one union come out and say that I want to thank the Prime Minister for not even sending them people to National Insurance, which would be a further burden on National Insurance. But she gave them the salary despite they did not work. No one came out and said, well, I want to thank the Prime Minister for it. But as soon as she said, well, I know the predicament we're in and what can happen if this thing prolongs, are you asking
to? So the Prime Minister was basically being magnanimous to the public servants? You think she did it out of the kindness of her heart? Or out of the reality of what that could do to the country? It's both.
Mr. Ellis, be that as it may, even if that were the case, right? Just right now, the alternative for not taking these bonds is about to send home 3 or 4,000 people, which again is a problem.
Okay.
So I'm saying to you...
Before you go any further, since you came on the air and you were so clear in your mind that Mr. Steve Blackett slammed the phone down in Mr. Wickham's ears, I certainly didn't hear the program, and I'm in no position.
So you pull up the tape.
No, I want Mr. Blackett is on the line. He's here to defend himself, as he should, in these circumstances. Let me hear. Mr. Blackett, good morning.
Good morning to you, David. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
All right. I was sitting, I'm hearing this caller accusing me of Big Bob of bad manners. Anybody who knows me, David, will tell you that I'm easily one of the most mild-mannered persons in Barbados. Or I had a conversation, yes, with
Peter Wickham?
With Peter Wickham on, I don't remember what day it was.
Tuesday.
And the conversation came to a natural end. I said goodbye, and that was the end of the conversation.
Mr. Blackett, if I were following, unless there's something I get click with that I don't know, when Mr. Wickham and you and Mr. Wickham were having a discussion, and when Mr. Wickham went on further to speak to you, the phone was down, and it hit real hard. And not only that, you did not say that. You go on. You did not say that. You finish. Right? Because clearly there was disagreement between you. But let me go a little further in terms of that. I heard you already, and you for things, right? So, and you know that something is my way or no way. That is the impression I get from you, Mr. Blackett. And I'm saying to you that some person, right? There's nothing wrong with being angry. But you say be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with being having feelings. We're human beings. We may got feelings. But when we are in positions that people like you hold, we need to set examples, right? And that is not the first time I heard you flip when
All
people
right.
have a divergent
view. Okay, so let Mr. Blackett respond to you now.
I don't know how to respond because what he's reporting of me with my conversation with Peter Wickham is far from the truth. So I don't know how to respond to that. He's saying one thing and I'm saying...
Okay, but this is your challenge. Apparently, Mr. Blackett, there are some people who got the impression that the phone was put down abruptly. Mm-hmm. You might not have thought so, but some people seem to have had it. I see some comments here as well. Online. So, in those circumstances, what do you do?
Well, I don't know, because I thought the conversation came naturally to an end.
Yeah.
But the thing about slamming down, of course, nobody can slam down a phone nowadays, because we don't have a handset we can slam down. You had to press it off the phone, and the call is disconnected. So, it is probably a question of interpretation.
Okay. And surely, if...
Mr. Ellis, allow me 1 minute. Mr. Ellis, you just asked a good question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the interest of, let me put for example that my perception of it was wrong, right? When you ask him that question, just now, you know what would, and forgive me for this, we'll say, you know, that if it would appear that I did that, I would apologize. And then the same that got them in the problem they're in today, that they don't feel the need to apologize for anything. Let me take, for example, Mr. Blackett did not slam it down as it came up to me and many other people. You know what you could have said just now, which is true and proper governance and proper manners? Well, I am sorry. But that is the nature of some of these people. And it's not only him, a lot of people do it. That's the nature of people. And I'm saying to you, when you're in a position like that, you need to be humble. And I'm saying this to you, Mr. Blackett, and I'm glad that you're here and I can speak direct to you. You need to drink some. You don't have to act that way.
All right. But, sir, I think we've had a fair run on this one. But,
yeah.
Mr. Blackett, it's up to you. I mean...
If he interprets that I ended the call abruptly, which I didn't, I would say I apologize to those who may have been offended by hearing that.
All right, well, let's move on.
But certainly, this is no big thing. If he interprets that I slammed down the phone according to him,
yeah.
Well, then let me apologize. But certainly, if it offended him, so be it. I would apologize to him.
All right.
But equally so, now that he... Oh, let's leave it there. Let's leave it at that.
No, go ahead.
Yes. No. I don't. So between us, look. Let me be quite honest with you. I've heard the point. I mean, at the end of the day, how much further can we take this? You have said how you felt. Mr. Blackie has come. He says if you have interpreted it that way, he apologizes. Where are you going to go with it from there? I mean, let's not drag this one out, okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?